Thanks for downloading this free audio sermon from Bethel Church, Coventry. For more audio downloads, updates on the building project and other information, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.
It's good to be here. We need to pray. Please open your Bibles at Exodus 3 or on your app, whatever. And I pray the Lord will speak today. We're going through the book of Exodus as a series. And it's going to be a challenge. I'm grateful to Andy Hardy for taking the last 2 weeks while I was away. And so we look to the run into Christmas now, God willing, together. So welcome if you're a visitor for the first time. Please don't rush off. Please make yourself known to us. We're going to pray. We're going to pray also. Tony lost his sister this week, Tony Hall. So we need to pray for those who are in loss, whose health is struggling, who need perspective that only the Lord can bring. The Lord can bring. There's no replacement for the Lord himself. We go so far, but the Lord himself comes as our great paraclete and does only what he can, the God of all comfort. Deep, deep, deep work in each of us. That's what I want. Lord, we thank you so much that we have a name above all names. We have one who ever lives to plead for us, who stands at the right hand of the Father, who prays for us now. How incredible it is we speak so often of what you've done. We worship you for that, for the cross, for the resurrection, that first fruit, that death is no longer the ultimate enemy. We can, in Christ, live in eternity with you, which is far better. But Lord, we thank you that now we can celebrate too what you're doing now. You pray for us. You intercede for us on our behalf. And you're coming back. You have a plan where all this will pass away. No more sorrow, crying, or pain, or tears. For the old order of things will have gone. I am making everything new. So we say Maranatha. So Lord, meanwhile, we struggle. We have the day-to-day. We have the frailties. The joys, the highs, the lows, the celebrations. And we lift up Tony, our brother. We thank you for him, for his joyful outlook so often. But Lord, we know deep that this is hard. We pray that you'd minister. You would just, even through our time together today, you just, Holy Spirit, in only the way you can, you would just speak to my brother's heart. We thank you for him. We love him. Lord, you do. And we pray that you would lift his spirit today in you as we worship. For others, again, the family of Betty Bearwood, others who are struggling, the Smith household, the wider family who are visiting from Wales, might it be that they see you in the midst of chaos and confusion and the brokenness of this world. Lord, you're the great God who fixes us. And so we commend these things to you, those who are struggling with health or finance, with purpose, with vision, with just the sheer exhaustion of getting up every day. Might it be that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Might you remind me today, us, of where our help comes from, the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Amen. How does God do this? I don't know if you've ever thought that. What do you mean, this, Keith? What do you mean? How does he hold all things together? Me, my life? How is he kind of interested enough in the minutiae of my life? I'm not even a speck, in a sense, in the world stage. How does he do that yet keep his big plan and purposes? How does God do that? How does he hold our lives together? You know, Paul says to the Colossian church, doesn't he? It's by him all things were created. In him all things hold together. In our very DNA, God holds us together. How can he keep that tension of being in my life? Caring about my questions and frustrations and anger and confusion about who he is so often, and my deep failings and sense of just messing up. Because we're joining Exodus at the beginning with a failed Moses. He's 80 years old. He murdered someone 40 years ago. Can't get it out of his head. Because that's what the enemy does. He reminds us of everything we've ever done and says, surely God can't use you. It's a lie. And I pray today that he'll somehow lift us, the Spirit, not me. He'll lift us to just know who he is. How amazing. How does he do this? All his purpose woven together in Christ for my life. Not fazed by my questions. I'm just being honest. How does God still use me? When I mess up, when I let him down, everything I do seems to work against what he wants for my life, how can he still use me? When I have a selfish call, that's fascinated by Keith. How does he even begin? And like Moses, maybe we'll just look at this text because the people are still in misery. The Lord has heard their cry in chapter 2. They've been in hard labor. They've been in Egypt for 400 years. They are culturally Egyptian. They're miles from God, really. They're waiting. There's always that remnant of people recalling the stories of Abraham. Do you remember what God said after 400 years? I'm sure that Genesis 15 promised to Abraham, after 400 years, I'll bring them out. But 400 years is a long time. You know, a year is a long time. A month can be a long time when we're so low. Can't it? What a difference a day makes, a song said once. And Moses has murdered someone. He had the best interest at heart and thought his people would embrace him because he was one of them. He was culturally Egyptian. He'd been brought up with all the privilege as the prince of Egypt. You've seen the movies. And his people, his own people, says, what? You're going to murder one of us like you did one of the Egyptians? 40 years. Just get on with what I get on with in the desert. How can we begin to move forward when we've been out in the cold? How does that work? Because I believe he wants each of us here today who profess his name to move forward. And I believe that scripture tells us that he will. Because it says here that he who began a good work in you will see it through to completion. Philippians 1:6, we know that. And that's not a New Testament change of heart by God, the way he deals with people. We see it with Moses here. All in his amazing plan. And I just want his word to speak to us today. If there's anything I say, Lord, please allow people to forget that. How does Moses even begin to move forward when he's in a wilderness situation? And it was just three things. There's lots more, but what I see when I read 11 to 22, thank you, Holly, for reading, is first of all, Moses can go forward when he's assured of God's presence. When he knows. God says, that song, we'll sing it hopefully maybe at the end of the message, maybe just together to one another, to the Lord, to be in your presence. You know, every time I sing that song, I kind of go, you know, there are lots of great songs where, and I love the great songs where my arms just suddenly find themselves in the air, but there are others where I just go, to be in your presence, Lord. I want to feel that real skin. Do you know, someone once said very wisely, we need to come in before we go out. Talking about God and his work. We need to come in before we go out. You see, what we're going to see and next week as well in chapter 4 is we're going to see Moses give the longest list of excuses we will ever see for not doing anything.
And what amazes me is that Moses has this incredible, I read Hebrews 11 and think Moses and Noah and wow. And he is someone who suffers from anxiety. Do you suffer from anxiety today? Moses did. You're in good company. Incredible anxiety. Incredible lack of kind of confidence in his gifting. Anyone else? Just put Moses back on kind of terra firma. We put them up there somewhere. And Moses suffers. And you know, in the passage this today, I've entitled it, Honesty is the Best Policy. I love Psalm 139. You know, Lord, you know me. You know my thoughts from afar. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely. So honesty is the best policy with God. With each other, but certainly the Lord knows. And you see, it starts at the beginning. So Andy covered last week the calling and the burning bush. Please listen online if you missed that. And the first thing Moses says in 11 is who am I? You see there, the Lord's calling me, says, Moses said to God, I'm going to use you to bring my people out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Personal inadequacy. It's a killer. Isn't it great? Personal inadequacy. But who am I? In verse 13, but what shall I tell them? I don't know what to say. I'm ignorant as well. Lord, I've just lost all confidence. I know I've been learning to read and write, but I don't know what to say. So I'm inadequate as a person, and I'm just ignorant about this thing. I haven't got a clue what to say. I'm incompetent and ignorant, and I'm anxious. Sounds like a great servant in this one. Chapter 4, verse 1, I'll give you a kind of praise of next week. He says, what if they do not believe me? Do you know I might lack authority? I was going to lack authority. What if they don't believe me? I've never been eloquent. Lack natural ability, 4:10. I've never been eloquent, Lord, you know me. I just lack natural ability. Why would God use someone who's anxious, who's worried about how people will receive them, but don't feel comfortable in that situation, who doubts their own gifting? 4:13, the absolute crescendo of it all. Lord, just please send someone else. I'm not up to it. I'm not up to it, Lord. I can't do this anymore. If anyone's been in ministry any length of time or Christian any length of time serving, we should get to that point where we say, I can't do this anymore. It's a great place to be. And you see, in human terms, these are all valid. In his own eyes, he'd been demoted from the prince of Egypt to the shepherd of Midian. Massive demotion in human terms. But you see, it's never a demotion in God's school. For some reason, when I look at the most greyest, darkest wilderness chapters of my life, thank you for sharing that, Holly. They're the chapters in God's school that have shaped me the best. Strangely. And what I love about God, you know what, if you came to me now and says, Keith, I feel really anxious about joining this ministry. I feel really inadequate. The temptation for me might be to say, oh, you'd be brilliant. You're amazing. God doesn't say that to Moses. He doesn't deny any of his anxieties. He doesn't deny anything how Moses is feeling at all. I need to be better at that. I might not necessarily say, yeah, you are really rubbish. It's not my job. But God allows Moses to feel how he feels. And I think in church we need to feel how we feel. And if you don't up to it, you don't feel like it, and worship's not great, and you're anxious and God's distant, that's good. Because it's you and it's real and it isn't a surprise to God. What really matters is what happens next. Because we feel what we feel. Don't we? I do. I take myself with me everywhere I go. It's horrible. But you see, none of these things can I say. God doesn't say, oh, right, that's news to me. It's not an interview. Oh, I'll choose someone else, Moses. Oh dear, I made a huge mistake here. None of Moses' anxiety, lack of confidence in his ability, his presence, his authority, all of that disqualifies Moses from service. Isn't that great? He can't get out of it that easy. See, I often wonder, this isn't some kind of feeling thing now. We can talk theology. Look at the scriptures. In our frailest moments, our weakest moments, when we say, Lord, I shouldn't even be on this platform. I shouldn't be here. I should never have this opportunity. Whatever it might be. In those moments, I think God can work all the more amazingly. And it's not me saying this, it's Paul, because Paul says to the Corinthian church, you know why he's chosen the very, 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 very weakest things of this world? Is why? To show his strength, did you say, Chris? Yeah. So what about our part as well? There's another thing before that bit, absolutely spot on. To show his strength through, as I can do all things through Christ. But he says, God has chosen the weak things of this world so that no man can boast. I'm here because I went to the right Bible college. I'm here because I got the right degree. I'm here because, qualify. My dad was a pastor. Whatever it might be. No, you're here by the grace of God. And you're here in your frailty and your brokenness. And God says, perfect. What took you so long to get to that place? 80 years, Moses. But you see, the Lord doesn't deny or trivialize Moses' anxieties. Get over it. Go to a self-help class. Great leadership books from the bookshop. How to double your church. I don't see it in here. Because God grows his church. But through his responses, the Lord says to Moses, let me paraphrase this, Moses, I don't want you to take a look at you. I want you to take a look at me. I want your full gaze. Not on yourself even a bit. On me. We need to come in before we go out. And gaze upon the beautiful Jesus. The God who's delivered us in the past will continue to do so, Paul says. The God who loves me before the world began, who knew me in the womb. Who holds me in the hollow of his hand. Who will never let anyone snatch me out of that. Who can use me in my brokenness and frailty. That's the God I serve. So being assured of his presence, verse 12 says, God says, I will be with you. I'm going to give you a sign as well. Signs are often the sign of to other people. This man is blessed. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses, your destination is always, forever shall be, toward me. That's why you're here. Our destination as converts, as disciples, is one tiny step towards him as we frail and we're weak, but it's always toward him. A deepen. He's so close to us already, but that deeper into. We've got to come in before we go out and start doing lots of things and get tired and things like this. And so God gives Moses this promise, I'm going to be with you. And do you see, if we was writing this book, we would write the next thing. So Moses went to Egypt and he absolutely blew them out of the water. It was amazing. Pharaoh's knees buckled when Moses walked into town. The next couple of chapters, it's horrific. It gets worse for Moses. And sometimes all we have is the promise of God's presence in the chapters ahead. Nothing more. No bright blue skies. Nothing else. Forget the prosperity gospel. Just remember, God's presence is enough for me. I will be with you always. Jesus said the same. Go and do this. Go and make disciples. I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. Moses, God says to Moses, and I will be with you. In fact, it's going to be so hard. You know, great servants in scripture. I was studying this week. They come in, press into God before they go out. John the Baptist, Luke 1:80, was in the wilderness, then gets called in, pressed in, and then publicly declares his ministry. Behold the Lamb of God, takes away the sin of the world. Apostle Paul could write to the Galatian church in chapter 1:17, I came to Christ, but then I went to Arabia for 2 years in the presence of God. I came in before I came out. Jesus himself was tempted in the wilderness. He came in and in. Did he need to? He certainly did. And then he came out. Great servants know and recognize that we need to come in before we go out. And just fall in love with Jesus again. Can I say that? Can we fall in love with Jesus again today? I want to do that. Maybe we're exhausted or tired or weary or not feeling it or whatever it might be. And the Lord, I pray in his gentle way to us today, is saying, I want you to come in. And this whole wilderness thing has been about coming in. Because that's where I am. I'm not in the earthquake. I'm not in the fire. I'm in the whisper. And to hear a whisper, you need to be alone with Jesus sometimes. And I want to be there. We go forward assured of his presence. I'll be with you, Moses. Look at me. We go forward knowing who he is, just who it is we're serving. I think in some of our hearts, we serve an angry God who stopped loving us. He can't possibly love me now because he loves us so much that he sent his only son. Moses is worried. What if the people, when I go to Egypt, ask, what is his name? By that, often in that kind of culture, it's kind of, what is the story of your God? You see, in Egypt, it was polytheism, many gods. What's the story? What's the story behind the one who sent you? What's the name? What are they going to say? Moses would have known his God. He's there, he's listening, he's there with the bush. But what shall I tell them, Lord? There's been a lot of debate about the name that God gives in Hebrew to Moses, Jehovah, Yahweh. You see, in the Jewish faith, they don't even pronounce the name fully. Yahweh. But now English, restricted as it is. Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, verse 13, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask, what is his name? What shall I tell him? God said to Moses, I am who I am. It all starts and finishes with me. He's going to demonstrate his superiority over all the other so-called gods in the plagues. They don't exist. It's the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. And the Lord's going to demonstrate his superiority. Just tell them that I am who I am. That is enough. That's who I am. I sent you. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent you. And then God, he gloriously summarizes his story to Moses in case he needed reminding in verse 15. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me. Is that enough story for you in Genesis? Is that the God I walk out tomorrow morning with? The God who, with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob? That's who you are to say. All that history, Moses. All that deliverance, all that providence, all that protection through the 6 to 9 of the Noahic floods, the floods of Noah. All that protection through flood and confusion at Babel, all the call and the famine with Joseph, the deliverance. All of that, Moses, I am the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, who is going, who is with you, who has sent you. Is that story enough for you, Moses? And we have a great story. The divine story writer. That's who has sent you. Who is with you, Moses. Tell them that. No beginning, no end, Moses. Just I am. Amazing. I like a God like that. Eternal true I am, always, forever, the one in whose presence you are now standing and trembling, you're shoeless, insecure, all of that. I'm the one who'll be with you, Moses, and I'm going to work through you. And it's the same God later on in Samuel. We learn in Sunday school about David and Goliath, one of my favorite quotes, when David's before the giant. 1 Samuel 17:45, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, our King. Just say, I am, Moses. That's the badge on your blazer. That's the stamp on your heart that I've sealed. We serve the great I am. Let's declare him. We declare God, the God who worked not just only in Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because that's the story up to Moses. I serve today, I go out tomorrow morning with the God of Daniel. Who do you go out with? Hey, let's do this. This is good. I like this. Okay, is that mic on? That's some quick look. Yeah. So I'm going out with the God of Daniel tomorrow. Anyone else? You don't have to. Just say the God of who? Just a name. The God of Ruth. Yeah? I'll repeat it. That's easy. The God of Lazarus, the one who raised from the dead. Yes, amazing. The God of Abraham. Absolutely, still is the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. The God of Job. Even if he slays me, yet will I praise him. And now I've heard of him, but now I've seen him. I've heard of him before. Because I've seen something special about him. We go out with the God of Daniel, Job, and Ruth, and Abraham, and tomorrow. I am. It's coming out tomorrow. Anyone else? Caleb. Even though I'm 85 years old, I'm still as strong as anything, and I'm going to serve God now. That's the God I want to be like when I'm 85. Betty was like that. Amazing. I'll pop that on their music team. Anyone else? Esther. Standing up in that incredible environment. Against the odds. If we don't do it, someone else, God will use someone else. Well, he's not going to do that. He's going to use me. Yeah. Amazing. I don't need to put that on because I had this on. Don't know why I did that just then. Why didn't someone tell me? People listening online won't understand, but never mind. I just held two mics. Hey, don't worry. Maybe God wanted to be heard. I don't know. You see, we go forward assured of his presence. And I want to go forward knowing who he is, not about my frailties and weaknesses. And thirdly, finally, Moses can go forward with his anxiety, his lack of confidence, and all those things. Because he's assured of God's presence. He knows who his God is. And he knows it's God's battle as well. We go forward knowing it's God's battle. The song says the battle belongs to the Lord. And that makes an awful lot of difference. You see, Moses previous didn't bode well for any conflict situation. But God's did. Really did. And you see in 17 to 21, as God speaks about the battle, in fact, he says, go assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, the Lord, in 16, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me and said, I've watched over you and have seen what has been done to you in Egypt. And I have promised to bring you up out of your misery in Egypt into the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, etc., all the ites, a land flowing with milk and honey. And the elders of Israel will listen to you. Praise the Lord. It's always good when the elders listen. They're amazing, our guys, by the way. Then you and the elders are to go to the king of Egypt and say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. Let us take a 3-day journey into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. And it's going to be really bad, but I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go. I'm just going to be with you, and you're going in my name, and it's my battle, but I know what's going to happen. I know what the elders are going to say, and I know what the king's going to do and say. I know it all. My boss is a bully, I know. I can't stand it, going to work tomorrow, it's going to be really... I know all these people. Go forward. in my presence, in my name, in my power, knowing it's my battle. Wow. It makes a difference for me. When I was in the workplace, it made such a difference with that griller of a boss who wanted me out or whatever it was. God's timing, 1 minute less or longer, I'll be there as long as God wanted me. End of. Unless I was silly. Even then God used my silliness to move me on. How crazy is that? And we see that knowing it's God's battle. We've already seen that we serve an omnipresent God. I will be with you. Wherever I go, you're there, Lord. We serve an all-knowing God, omniscient God. This is what the elders are going to say, and this is what the king's going to say and do. He's omniscient, he knows everything. It's amazing, isn't it? Isn't it wonderful to know one who knows? And he's an omnipotent, all-powerful God too. Verse 17, he's a faithful God. I have promised. Look in verse 17. I have promised. He's a faithful God. Do you notice? I just want us to notice this. That the Lord just doesn't take us out, but he brings us. He takes us into. He doesn't just bring us out. He takes us into. And this is so important for us as we as a people look at what it means to be a close follower of Christ today. I promise to bring you up out of your misery in Egypt into the land of the Canaanites, into the land flowing with milk and honey. He brings us out and takes us into. He brings us out of the kingdom of darkness into his glorious kingdom of light. And he does that at the cross through Christ. That's the access, the starting gun. That's the plan of salvation and access, but it's the start of a lifelong journey with Christ that Betty knew and spoke about every single day. Whoever would listen, she should have been, I say it often, but she should have been on prescription. She was that encouraging. I find her incredible. Wow, I'm going to miss Betty. But we're going to celebrate when that date comes in a couple of weeks, aren't we? We serve a faithful God. I'm faithful, Moses. I've promised, he says in 17. And he takes us into. He's an all-knowing God. The elders will listen to you. Don't worry. Verse 18, the elders will listen to you. I know. He's an all-knowing God. Verse 19, but I know the king of Egypt will not let you go. I know these things. And he's all-powerful, omnipotent. Verse 20, so I will stretch out my hand. Stretching out the Lord's hand is scripture. Just search on a Bible app, stretch out my hand, or whatever you want to do. It's a sign of God's power. And he then gives that to us. Moses, stretch out your hand. I'm going to stretch out my hand. Often it's in judgment against those against God's people, but often in a powerful way too. So as we rest in his presence, as we trust the God who has previous in our lives, we can pray, oh Lord, stretch out your hand. Have you got a difficult boss? Have you got an unsafe family member? Have you got frustration? Lord, stretch out your hand. Lord, I know you're with me. I know you know the full situation. You know I'm anxious. You know I'm broken. You know it's painful. You know it's hard. I love my sister. I love my mum. They don't know you. I'm breaking apart. My neighbors are difficult. My boss is hard. But Lord, stretch out your hand. And there's going to be chapter after chapter of pain and heartache for Moses. It doesn't snap and everything go great. But that call in Moses' head is, I'm journeying, he's promised I will worship him on that mountain, and that's where I am heading. We are heading to a great, great, glorious place of worship, that New Jerusalem, where that multitude will worship him before the throne, singing, worthy is the Lamb. In the meantime, I'm in maybe the chapters of wilderness or the chapters of conflict or the chapters of illness or frailty or anxiety. But God sees it and says, just look at me. Thank you. So as we rest in his presence, as I bring this down today, as we rest in his presence, as we trust the God who has previous in our lives, we can pray, Lord, stretch out your hand. Fighting the battles in that way, stretching out his hand. Reaching those we love in another way. Oh Lord, stretch out your hand against the injustice in this world. Stretch out your hand, Lord, against those who would oppress your people and your truth and twist it. But Lord, I want you to reach out your hand to save my family. To save my son, my daughter, my husband, my wife, my neighbor. Reach out that wonderful hand, Lord. My boss, my grandchildren. See, our battle today is no less intense. Like Moses and John the Baptist and Paul, we need to come in before we go out. And just soak in how amazing he is. What a powerful name he is. That's why we do this weekly. And maybe I pray you take other opportunities to do this in the week, because it's a long time. 7 days, never mind 400 years. It's a long time. Come in, spend time, enjoy, hear from him. I want to find out who you really are, God. Who is it? And we can then know that we can get to know him, his truth, his word, his promises, who he is. I am the great I am. And we can appeal to the one in our situation who split history in two when he came to this planet, and who stretched out his hands in the most incredible way on that cross. Surely there's no greater thing than the hands stretched out of God. The same hands that oppressed Pharaoh and parted the Red Sea stood on a cross and let men and women like you and I nail him to that. How does that work? How is it possible? How is it possible that God does that for me? I can't get over that. I can't ignore that and walk out like he never died. He purchased me on that cross. Those hands, that song, that, you know, remember the servant king, hands that flung stars into space to cruel nails, surrendered. Oh my Lord, it's just so powerful. What a powerful name it is. Yet he conquered the grave. We praise God for Lazarus, and he conquered, and he says, I'm the first fruit now. I am the resurrection and the life. Isn't it wonderful? And that's what he promises. And I appeal to that God today, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the other names in the scripture, who by faith, not getting anything, the Hebrews writer says, they didn't receive any of the things they were promised, yet we're looking for a city whose builder and architect was God. That's what I want to do. I want to look beyond this to that city, the city where Betty is now, the city where she's beneath that throne and where she's been saying, how long, O Lord, when all things will be new. And I love that. And so in Jesus, we see the full realization of our great God, who invites us to come in before we go out and says, I will be with you even to the end of the age. Marvelous. But also says, just like God said to Moses, really, look at me, Moses, because without me, you can do nothing. John 15:5. And that's the place I want you to be. In that place of total vulnerability. Because that's when I'm at my best. Because there's no inch of boasting in that place. Because it's not about you. And I love you enough. And I love that. What I wanted to do now is just sing. Just with maybe very, very light guitar with Jason. Just voices, close our eyes. If you don't know the words, they'll be on the screen, or you may know it's to be in your presence. I want to invite each of us today, before we celebrate around the great access, the great Exodus event that has brought us near, communion. We're going to sing to be in your presence. Just very, very gently, together. Okay, we'll just probably have a D and we'll... might just try it without very gentle strum, and then we'll... just close your eyes and come in. Maybe you feel a need to come right in right now. Whatever, just come in. Lord, I want to empty myself of me. I want to decrease like John the Baptist and you increase. What did you just sing? To be in your presence, to sit at your feet, where your love surrounds me and makes me complete.
This is my desire.
Oh Lord,
this is my desire. This is my desire. Oh Lord, this is my desire. To rest in your presence, not rushing away. Cherish each moment. Here I would say, this is my desire, oh Lord, this is my desire, this is my desire, oh Lord. This is my desire.
You have been listening to a broadcast here from Bethel Church in Coventry. For more information and other sermons, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.